You're listening to the Platte River Bard.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Platte River Bard. This is Chris Berger.
And I'm Sherry Berger.
And we are here today with Don Keelan White. He is an actor, and we are here with Beb Ann Phillips. She is also an actor, and they are both Norman and Ethel, respectively, in Chanticleer's upcoming production on Golden Pond. Thank you two very much for joining us. Yes, at Pace.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us here in this lovely little house.
Thank you.
I am excited about this.
We are sitting down here at the dining room table here that Beb Ann has been very nice to provide us with a space this afternoon.
We're and a bit of a nomad today. That's
okay. We are. That's all right. We like to travel and talk to folks. On Golden Pond, pretty familiar to just about everybody, at least, I don't know, at least from my generation and older. Gosh, that was such a huge movie. How did you both become involved with On Golden Pond and Chanticleer?
You know, you said that it was huge for people our age, and it was. It was a impactful movie for me. And I saw there was an opportunity to play it, and I loved the person that Ethel is and thought, you know, this is within the realm of possibility for me. I would love the opportunity to do that. Cool. So I'm super excited. I'm getting a chance to do it.
And I have seen enough productions at the Chanticleer, but never have been involved in one. And I thought, you know, this is a good chance to kind of spread my wings a bit and get involved with more people, new people. Because as you know, one of the blessings of theater involvement is meeting new people and expanding a sense of friendship and relationship among the community. So that was part of the reason that I was interested in this part. In addition, as you said, the role, it's kind of a classic role that
he really is. Norman's such a great character. Yeah. I didn't realize you had never done anything at Chanticleer before.
Never,
because you've done a lot of stuff around town.
Stuff in Omaha, but nothing across the bridge.
All right. Oh, that's right. Went across the bridge. That's all right. How do you guys like that facility? We've been over there a few times.
It's amazing. It's beautiful. Nice?
Yeah,
beautiful.
It is really gorgeous. Beautiful.
I'm going to have you guys tell me just a little bit about yourselves and how you got into acting and sort of the stuff that you've been doing. Let's start. Let's say ladies first this time.
Oh, it was ladies first last time too.
I know.
Okay.
Fine with me.
Yes, I sure it is. So the big question, how did I get into acting?
Yeah.
This is something I have wanted to do since I left college and just have, you know, that was the goal. I would become involved in community theater.
Okay.
But none of the work I ever did or the way I raised my children let me do it, you know. Mm-hmm. So a couple years ago, my time freed up substantially. And I said, all right. And I took some acting classes because there are some wonderful people in town who will share information with you. And I thought, you know, I think I'm ready. I'll start trying out for things this year. And I have been blessed. I have been so fortunate that I had a role in January that opened in January and then could start working on this one as soon as that production ended. And I'm just stoked. I feel like, wow, the world is mine now.
That's awesome. What did you do in January?
I was in the Savannah Sipping Society at the Chanticleer.
Oh, okay, Savannah. Wow, okay, that's a great story.
Branda.
Yeah, Branda.
Branda. Yes.
That's also a movie. Yeah. Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Mr. Don.
I
was part of Team Don.
Team Don.
The infamous Team Don.
I should have worn that sweatshirt today.
I know, I should have too.
If Don's out there listening, hi, the other Don of
Team
Don.
Other Don.
Yes.
I've seen the sweatshirt.
Yeah. I was always involved in high school productions.
From high school.
And got involved in theater in college. But where I went to school, there wasn't a theater major, but I was an English major. I was going to teach American Lit.
Oh, okay.
And so that was my focus was being an English teacher. And when I got my first job in Gresham, Nebraska, in the year 1970, when I was paid $6,400 for my first year of teaching,
wow.
I had 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade English and a speech class, and I was in charge of the plays. Well, it wasn't until I got to directing plays and other people that I thought, you know, I don't really want to do this. I want to be in them. And so the next few years I was teaching, but there was still a kind of a you know, what about? And I got involved in a summer theater thing at Fort Robinson out in Crawford by Shadron.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a gentleman there who had worked at the Dallas Theater Center. And the Dallas Theater Center at the time had a two-year apprenticeship program.
Ooh.
So I applied for that, and I went down there. And it was really an incredible experience because the building itself had been designed by Frank Lloyd Wright.
Oh, cool.
And the master carpenter there was the Frank Lloyd Wright master carpenter. I mean,
he was like his apprentice, essentially.
But he was probably, Carl was one of the most foul-mouthed, evil people I've ever met in my life. And he didn't care who you were. He told you what he thought of you, and he didn't think much of anybody but himself. But that's a whole other story. Anyway, so then I came back to Nebraska from there. And most people, I think, don't know this, but for a year I was in the Nebraska Arts Council Artisan Schools Program.
Oh.
And I did a full-year residency. Actually, it turned out for 3 years there in York, and then I met my wife.
Okay.
And we went to England for a year, and then we came back. And instead of trying to apply for jobs from England for over here, we just took what we could get. And they were both in New York at the time. And we were planning on just staying there for a while and then leaving. And, yeah. And lo and behold, we stayed there
through
our careers.
Just so, recently moved from New York.
So I just, it'll be 3 years, and I just finally made the move. I retired in 2009.
Okay.
But during that time, I was highly involved with the community theater. And I was either directing or in a show, or I mean, a president of the board. And it got to a point, you know, with when we started a family, it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to have to step away from something. I probably can't quit my job. I probably shouldn't quit my family.
Right, right.
I'm going to have to step off the board of the Yorkshire Playhouse.
Fair.
And so I stepped back from that. But I still was involved, again, very heavily in the community theater and did lots of productions there. And then I got involved in Omaha with Christmas Carol, not realizing that I thought it was just a straight stage play,
right.
Not realizing he had to sing and dance as well. And I almost didn't go to the audition. And my boy's like, Dad, you're going.
Yeah.
And I went. And of course, I'm glad I did, because if I'm in it again this year, it'll be my 12th year.
This will be 12.
Yeah. Yeah. With the exception of the COVID year, which of course was limited to a cast of 8, I think.
Yeah, they did a much smaller cast. And I don't think anybody, any regulars at all, aside from Jerry.
Yeah,
were in that.
And that was shut. I mean, they live streamed that. They didn't.
Yeah, and that was
because of the COVID thing. Mm-hmm. So,
did you start out as Marley for the first time? Okay, so you've always been.
I've been Marley every year except one, and that was a little blip there where they kind of changed roles. I played Fezziwig. And one of the charity men, and then the guy that was playing the other charity men and Christmas Present had to step out, and they asked me if I would do Christmas Present that year. So I also did Christmas Present.
Yeah.
That one year.
Was that Team Don year?
That was Team Don year.
Who was Marley that year? Because I was there.
I could just see him.
That was my first year. Ron.
I want to say Kavalik or...
Yes.
Because his daughter is in the show.
Ron, yes.
I can't remember his last name.
Yes, but
Ron. But Ron played Marley that year.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that was the year you and Don Harris did, like, everything.
Well, Don was not in the show originally.
Right.
And they brought him back in.
Yes.
And then they kind of, we're going to dedicate this year's T-shirt to Team Don.
Team Don.
So,
you guys are everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that was, what was it, 16, I think. That may have been, I know.
Somewhere there.
I think it was my first year as Bob. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that was the year I met all you guys and Jerry and everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Ha! Hilarious. Gosh. All right. Okay, so.
Well, this particular production is just good because it gives people who are older an opportunity to audition, which is just not happening.
Are you suggesting I'm older?
I'm older with you.
We're all there.
I don't know anybody that's not older than they were yesterday.
It's just all true.
But your point's well taken. There are not a lot of roles for older people.
No,
older
characters. There doesn't seem to be. No.
Yeah.
Jones, Hope, and Wooten actually are
good
a good
about
source
that.
For that. Yeah, they have. Mm-hmm. They seem to have a wide gamut of ages.
Of ages. Yeah. And roles that being older actually makes you a better actor.
Yes. And older roles for women, too, for more mature women, and good roles.
And not as secondary roles.
No, yeah. Not like the primary roles. Wacky whatever that comes in for a page and then leaves.
Yeah, cameo role.
Right. Yeah, exactly. They're like their main characters, which I love, And, of course, Ethel and Norman are like two, that's like they're one of the greatest sort of couples ever.
And you know, I think it's important to understand too, a lot of people think, oh, isn't that the show that Katharine Hepburn and Peter Fonda, kind of like, yeah, that was the movie, but we're not Katharine Hepburn and Peter Fonda.
Yeah, well, and speaking
Henry
of that,
Fonda, sorry.
Henry Fonda. And speaking of that, what is there a big difference between, say, the movie and the play?
I think so, yeah.
Was it a play first?
Yes.
It was a play. Okay.
And then they made the movie, and then, yeah.
And then they made the movie from it. So yes. There are differences for sure.
Yeah. There are differences for sure. Not only between the play and the movie, but between what we bring to it as Ethel and Norman.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
This is Jeff Garst, that's the director. This is Jeff's On Golden Pond.
Yes.
And our Ethel and Norman.
Yes, for sure.
And our way of making it look like we've known each other for 48 years.
Yeah. I think you guys can do it for sure. Absolutely.
Well, Norman is a little forgetful on stage and off. And so if you can remember all of those lines, it probably be all right.
Well, I don't know. I think it's quite an accomplishment and harder than you always think it's going to be to pull off a believable relationship on stage, especially one that's been, like you said, for 48 years. Because, and I've always said this, it's something we all know what it looks like, and you can't fake it. You can't act it. It's got to, you guys have to have some kind of chemistry, and because everybody knows what it looks like, whether they've been in that relationship or their parents or their family or whatever, everybody knows what that looks like.
Yeah. And I think for Jeff, and it's interesting because Jeff works with high school kids, and I can remember a scene in an acting class where these two boys were playing scenes from the Sunshine Boys, these 80-year-old comic characters. And this kid had just dyed his hair kind of an ice blue. And I remember sitting there watching him in the scene thinking, this guy probably wouldn't have ice blue hair, but he's still doing a good job. But the thing about young people, the teenager in that case, is that he's playing a man that he couldn't begin to really understand in terms of the age and what he's gone through. And for Jeff, in this situation with the two of us, I think the characters are much more believable, and you can start at a different point with shaping and molding who they are and what direction they go, because we are closer to the age and understand and have life experiences that a high school kid simply wouldn't begin to touch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I was talking with Kevin about that the other day. There's just some things you can't replace. Sure. And even age, even if that person hasn't been acting this whole time, like yourself, you haven't been acting since high school, but it still doesn't matter. You have all of that life experience
yes.
And you're going to say those lines and identify those lines so much differently than
really
someone,
true.
You know, 10, 20 years younger.
Yeah.
Yep.
Easy.
Yeah. You can feel the shorthand that couples that have been together that long have.
Yes.
You know?
So. Yeah, especially since, you know, you guys have had, you know, long-term relationships. You know what that's like. You know the little things and the little things make the big differences, because we all sort of recognize them immediately.
Right.
And it sort of signals to them, oh, look at them. You know, aren't they nice? You know, just it's all the little things.
There are a couple of very simple but tender moments in the show. And I don't think we milk them, but I think we understand and appreciate the impact that has not only on us, but on the audience. And I think that's important, because that connection, if that connection is not made beyond the curtain line, it's just an acting exercise.
Right. Yeah. It's more like a presentation.
Yeah.
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 Well, and their relationship is really the is central.
Yes.
It's the main thing of the story.
Yes.
At least as it was when I saw it and remember it.
Yes.
And I'm assuming it's still that way.
Yeah, their relationship is central. Norman's relationship with our daughter Chelsea central.
Yeah,
counterpointed to my relationship. It's really interesting in this. The cast, I think we show those relationships really well. I'm so thrilled to have a chance to put that out in front of somebody because I think they're going to feel like they're watching this family.
It's nice yeah. little family.
And you know, I Bevan, I've told you this before, but the very first read through. When we read the whole script and the evening was over, I remember looking at her and thinking, man, Norman has somebody really there for him. There was something about that Norman-Ethel connection just in the reading that seemed very, very easy to bond with and very easy thinking, okay, we're going to build on this and this is really going to be a good, good stage experience and a real life experience.
So nice, good chemistry
from the beginning. From the beginning,
yeah,
that is nice. Well, and I found that the more I've listened to things being read, you can tell a lot from the first reading, and I know that sounds weird sometimes, but just from the sound of it,
yeah,
he's like, ooh, I like the sound.
Yeah.
The sound of it. Even if, you know, everybody's, you know, stutter steps awkward. Through some of the
yeah.
lines. Yeah,
yeah.
Because it's maybe the very, very, very first time some of them yeah. have read the words. It's still the sound of it.
Yep.
And immediately, especially, you know, if there's characters who have relationships, it's almost like they almost start to take root in that very first time because they're reaching out and trying to connect, trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
Have you either one of you worked with this director before? First time with this director?
I've never even known who Jeff was. but I mean, he teaches, I know, in the Elkhorn system.
Okay, so he's in the Elkhorn
but
school district.
I'm not sure. And I hate to misspeak and say he's at this school when that's not the school.
Yeah. Okay.
But he's been active in the theater
world
around.
Oh, yeah, he's done shows at Chanticleer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he is one
Jeff
of their...
Jeff Garst.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent. Who else do you have in here? Who's the daughter? Who's the
Chelsea? You know, and I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Gina.
Gina.
Gina,
we're so sorry.
I'm sorry.
I got you. It's Gina Krychek.
Gina plays the daughter. Randy Wallace. Do you know Randy?
Oh yeah, we know Randy. Yeah. He's been a loft regular for quite a while.
Yes,
Randy did the nerd with him last year.
Yeah, that's Randy's playing Charlie. He was kind of. On Golden Pond nerd, he's kind of the I don't know exactly
like,
comic relief.
Is
but
he the mailman?
He's Charlie the mailman.
Okay,
and he and Chelsea, grew up together. So,
that's
yeah.
okay. Yes. All right.
And then Chelsea, you never really learned much about the husband, but she's left the husband and she has a new boyfriend now, and his name is Bill Ray, and they have Bill has a son apparently from another marriage, Billy Ray Jr.
Okay,
and so Billy. And Bill and Gina come to on Golden Pond there for Norman's 80th birthday. And, of course, he's not real keen on anybody being there for his birthday, much less people he doesn't know.
Doesn't really know.
Much less a dentist named Bill Ray. That, you know, I mean, this,
yeah, and this, his son who doesn't know the son.
Yeah. So just for the sake of it, make sure we get those names in there. Mark Reed. Who's very involved in the Bellevue Little Theater. I think he might be on the board.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark plays the dentist, Bill.
Okay.
And then the boy is Carter Fry, and he was in Christmas Carol. I'm not sure.
I'm going to say Carter,
He played Peter.
Yes, I thought that.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
That's great. Sounds like a great
and
cast.
It's a Peter. Small cast, six people.
Yeah. And Krista Freemuth is our stage manager.
I'm sorry,
manager.
Yes. He's not. Yeah.
Oh, Krista Freemuth?
She's the stage manager. Free,
yeah. See what a good couple we are? Didn't I just
the complimentary.
It starts already.
Yes.
Yeah, Krista's done. She's always stage managing somewhere.
Well, and she's also stage managing the next show, I think, at the Chanticleer, which is a Chorus Line.
Oh, she did Chorus Line.
And she did White Christmas, I think, at Bellevue. And she's,
that's what I think. So. Yeah, she's always somewhere.
She's always somewhere.
You guys are opening this weekend. Mm-hmm.
March 14th.
March 14th.
So you've had your Tech Sunday.
That's coming up.
Tomorrow. Tech Sunday.
Oh, yes. Today's Saturday, so okay. Your Tech Sunday is tomorrow.
So the 14th through the 24th, two Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday weekends.
Okay.
And, of course, the evening shows are at 7:30, and the two matinees are at 2 o'clock.
Oh, they're 2 o'clock matinees.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think they're doing a tag night out for this.
Yes,
as
Wednesday the 13th.
Yeah. Okay.
You guys are opening soon. How are you feeling about it?
I am feeling ready.
Are you ready? Are you ready for an audience?
I am really ready. I was sad we didn't get to go rehearse tonight. So,
it seems to be the universal night off is Saturday night.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
No, you know, there's technical things to do, but I'm feeling really comfortable with everybody there, and that we're going to be able to push this, put the story out there, and people are going to see the story, you know, even if we may personally be worried about some little thing. I've just decided I'm not worrying about it, and I'm ready.
How did you approach studying your lines since it's been a while before you had to, since you've had to do this?
Yeah. I imagine you two have the biggest parts.
There are many, many words.
Don just shaking his head.
Ethel is a talkative person. She just goes. And she changes gears so fast, you know. Well, I'm an occupational therapist by profession, I pulled on my background and used some memory techniques like chunking, and then I did testing, and then I did rehearsal, and then I pulled in an app, and then I got Don to come do it in person with me. Aww. So I've just been trying multiple ways to try to remember my lines.
Did you do one of those script apps where you put in the script and... Did you like any of them?
I like the one I'm using. It's super, very basic.
What's that one called?
Just Run Lines.
Just called Run Lines?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you found that one useful.
Super simple, because, you know, I can listen to it in the car when I'm running errands. Like, it's what helped me test what I could remember.
Okay. Very interesting. I didn't have
somebody reading with me.
I've been looking around at those, and I'm not sure which one to get, because I need... to run lines at odd times, and she's not, you know, she's mm-hmm. not there, and I can't run lines with my dog, although I wish I could.
Yeah, he'd be great at it.
He would be great at it.
Yeah, and I did buy another one, and you're right. I bought another one and started reading the directions, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to have to spend 4 hours trying to figure out how to run this, and just not into that right now.
Right.
Fair.
And I'm sure it would do a lot, but this one's simple.
We had a really good rehearsal Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
And starting tomorrow with Tech, when we start adding lights and microphones and costumes and little details that have to be adjusted to, we're pushing to a point where we need an audience.
Yeah.
Because you know, there are funny lines being said, but no response.
Yeah, that's so hard.
Yeah, and that's one of those. It's hard to rehearse those,
especially in comedy. Yeah. It's like, is this funny? Because it's not funny anymore to us.
I have to tell the same joke 50 times.
You're saying something, and you're thinking in your head, "This is going to be funny."
So funny, and nobody laughs.
And then nothing.
Yeah, but the process for me has been a real challenge. I mean, I have, it used to be a whole lot easier to learn lines 30 years ago than it is now.
I understand.
And as you suggested, I mean, we are, you take Norman and Ethel out of the show, there's not a whole lot left. I mean, they are on stage, there are five scenes. The first and the last scene are pretty much just those two. Then you introduce another character in the second scene, and then you get more in the third, you know. Yeah. But it is really the Ethel and Norman show.
Yeah, it is.
You know? And so what I have found perplexing is there are some lines, it's like you get halfway through the line, and then your mind just says, you are not going to finish the sentence that has the word
there's a
market.
Market, yep. And how do I get there?
And I can't. I'm just going to blip my way through this and go on to the next line.
Oh, God. I know what you mean.
It's so weird how that happens. And there are some times when you have a scene that, like, okay, I got this scene. I need to work it. And then you get out there in that scene, and the scene that you have not had any trouble with, all of a sudden it's like, no, was that the wrong line? And you have this really, it's not a deer in the headlight look exactly, but your castmates look at you like, it's not it.
Yeah, that's not it.
You skip, it's supposed to be, yeah. I mean, they look
you
at you.
You skip like four pages, yeah.
And then you look back at them like, I'm so sorry.
I know
it's not the right line, but I can't think of what it is.
So I just said this.
Yeah, but I have to say, though, that, I mean, again, the cast has been very patient and very, oh, you're doing fine, don't worry. You know, it's going to be okay. I mean, if you fall flat on your face, they don't say, boy, you sure fell on your face. They say, here, let me help you get up.
Right.
Nice.
And that, nice that's cast. That's the difference.
Nice yes. cast.
That's what gives you hope.
Yeah.
Was there any advice that Jeff gave either one of you that you felt was really helpful?
Yes, Rach, your director. He's not here. We'll talk about
him. No, well, I didn't really mean it like that.
No, it's interesting because Jeff has a, I think, not unusual, but a style of directing that I have not worked with before myself.
Ooh.
And I think a lot of that, because in some discussions that he and I have had, it has to do with his teaching philosophy. Mm-hmm. And he has been kind of an inquiry-based teacher. And I don't know what he teaches exactly. I think he teaches English. But he will raise the question and then lead students to explore or discover the response. And sometimes as an actor, it's like, okay, so I'm doing this. And it's like, well, is that really what we want to accomplish? And so as an actor, the question is like, okay, so does that mean you don't like the reading? So sure. If something's missing, what do you suggest? Because you depend on an objective observer to say,
sure,
you know, that's coming across kind of like you don't care, or that's coming across a little fast, or, you know, is there another way we can say this so that she understands you're really not angry with her or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And so there were times that I talked to Jeff about this. There were times that I needed, okay, so the question that you're asking suggests to me that it's not the way you would like to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So what, help me out here, what would get us to where you think is a stronger response?
Okay.
And that was a little, it didn't set him back, but it was kind of like, it wasn't his style to say, here's what you need to do.
Right. He wants to ask the questions, so, I mean, so you can find it.
Yeah. But yeah. As a director, a director can say, you know, the pace, we need to pick up the pace. Yeah. There are spots here, or, you know, you're garbling that sentence. I can't understand it. So slow it down so we can understand it. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like he can say that, I think he can say, you know, Norman seems a little angrier here than, I mean, what do you think?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's been the back and forth between the director and me has been, okay, so if this isn't working, which seems to be the suggestion, what would work? What is something that would take you a direction that would make more sense?
Yeah.
So that's been, and he is not, he's not a pushy or demanding sort of director. He doesn't kind of slip an insult in there to kind of hope they catch that. I mean, he's very gentle, very nice. Very wise in many ways, and I guess again as an actor, pushing him to not be assertive, but to be more specific.
Sometimes more specific. Although I do appreciate the actors asking questions.
Yeah.
What do you think about this? And letting your mind sort of go. Oh.
Yeah, that was one of the things I found comfortable, because some of the training I've done over the past year to get ready was improv, but more improv from an emotional perspective. So the emotional point of view, improv.
Oh.
And so when Jeff started asking questions, you know, what would Ethel feel here? Why do you think they only have one daughter? You know, and just really delving into their past and their relationship. That was pretty helpful to me to kind of set some things to really get that flowing as far as the personality and the emotion that I would want to bring to Ethel. using the words of the playwright.
For sure. Yeah.
So you did improv before this. Was it in town or?
Classes.
A class.
That's the training. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm a student. Can I say where I'm a student?
Please do. I was going to ask you about that. What were some of the acting classes / teachers that you have found valuable in town?
Well, I took classes at the Omaha Community Playhouse.
Okay.
And they have several of their classes, but I also was one of the first in their 55 plus class, the Encore class.
Okay.
But I'm currently a student at 402 Academy.
Oh,
With Steve Hydeen.
Okay.
And
been there
since last May. And
that's great.
That was like slipping off going, I think it was. But anyway, sometime last year.
Sure.
But that was frightening for me because, you know, he's saying, oh, I go from an improv base. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. Well, I don't know that I'm quick enough, smart enough, fast enough. That's super scary. So I guess I better go do it.
Good for you.
And it's been a great tool.
You're really glad you did it.
I am really glad. Yeah, helps me feel like I'm really bringing a character to life.
Ooh, 402 Academy.
Yeah.
That's, I can't think of her first name right now, but her last name is Callahan.
Oh, Nicole.
Yes.
Nicole.
Thank you.
And that's what she's a part of as well.
She's a part of that. Mm-hmm. I work with Steve.
And you work with Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
That's great. It's great to hear. I haven't heard very much about it, so that's...
The little that I have heard has been good.
I just
heard another good thing. So that's nice to hear yet again. About a place here in town.
Absolutely.
Ooh, nice.
This just sounds like such a great show.
I love this show.
I can't wait to see you guys together and doing this.
I hope you can come see it. I'm hoping people will really enjoy this and feel the story.
I think it's also important. I mean, even though we've mentioned the other characters as having smaller roles.
For sure.
They are so pivotal to the production, and they bring such substance. And, you know, I mean, there's a scene in there where I play off of Mark, and Norman is just playing with this, you know, like a cat playing with a mouse in the corner, and he's just toying with this.
Yeah.
And that poor guy is trying to figure out, you know, what's happening here. And there's another scene with Randy. And he's sitting there on the couch, and Ethel's reading a letter, and Norman's reading the newspaper complaining about the Major League Baseball, and poor Randy's back and forth trying to follow two conversations. You know, and I mean, these people are solid people, and they may only be on stage for a moment, but, you know, if you take them out of the show...
You lose a lot.
You lose, yeah. It's,
yeah, yeah. Well, for sure.
Yeah.
And I remember listening.
Carter, Carter and Gina both, too. I mean, Gina, that moment where Gina comes back, sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Where Gina comes in and there is that moment, is there a reconciliation or is there not a reconciliation between father and daughter?
Yeah.
That's a very powerful scene just in the text, much less in feeling the emotions. And then you have the situation with the grandfatherly type, with the young boy who is brought along, and of course Norman just belittles him to start with, and then eventually they become best friends, best buds.
Yes, they do.
And best dudes.
Do they end up connecting through some of the books that he gives them?
Well, that's where it starts, and then they go fishing together.
And that's where they go. Okay.
Yeah.
It's such a neat story.
Yeah.
I love the story.
And you see a whole different Norman in the second act. When he's interacting with Billy than you do in the first act. I mean, Norman is, he's just in a...
At odds with everybody in the first act.
Major,
like
180, yeah.
Yeah.
I know I heard from Jane Fonda when she was interviewed about her father, basically.
Yeah.
And they did that movie, the movie together, this play. That she and her father, some of the dialogue between them was very real for her. So I was just...
Wasn't just a script.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I'm
a contentious relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling like you really feel that with you and Gina. You're feeling some of that same
dialogue.
And
there's a wonderful scene there with Ethel, between Chelsea and Ethel, the daughter and the mother.
And they have sort of the better side of the relationship.
But even there, there's tension.
There's tension in that side as well.
There's tension and growth in there. So you can really see how that family has... been twirling around each other for 40 years, you know. It was funny, when we first started, I remember Don going, I don't like Norman very much.
Well, in that scene.
I'm thinking, well, good, you're a nice person, aren't you?
Chelsea reaches out to him, and at first I think he's pretty snide with her, and it's just like, you know, this is your daughter trying to get back in touch. Stop it. But
cut it out.
I'm not.
That's okay. And we all have to play people and
that you don't particularly like.
We don't particularly identify with from time to time.
Isn't that true?
And audience will let you know if you're doing a good job of it too.
And you still got to convince that audience. That no, I mean this. This is my guy. Unfortunately.
But I mean, I think we all know people who just, they and their father, or they and their mother, or their parents, or some, I mean, oftentimes there are things that occur in our families that never really get resolved. And you may wish you could resolve them, and you may try to resolve them, but some of them, I mean, and you know this, even like in the marriage, you may love somebody, but just because you love somebody doesn't mean that everything is going to be easy or that it works. Sometimes you have to say, you know, I guess we're going to have to figure this out because...
Yeah, and some things you just got to leave alone. It's like, well, we're going to have to, I guess, agree to disagree and we'll just leave.
And
we'll,
I think, one of the... I don't know if it's a theme exactly, but ear itches here, sorry.
Go for it.
One of the things in the show is, and I read this about where June, I mean, this has cycles. I go to this cabin, and June will always come back, but Norman and Ethel will not always come back. And so part of the question is, if they try to heal the wounds, if they try to repair the damage of the relationships, is it too late? Is it better late than never? Those questions are kind of there. It's like, okay, so is to be continued? Will this resolve itself? Will this be resolved? Will they finally... You know, and those questions are kind of there, like the fog on the pond, you know, lingering. But it's definitely a part of I think the playwright at work, kind of letting that drift out there for the actors to drift out to the audience and let the audience think about that. It's kind of like,
Well, and it's a more realistic, I think, way of looking at it and way of writing it and presenting it, because not everything gets tied up in neat little bows. We know that. I mean, life is messy. Relationships are messy. And
we always have plans for tomorrow. Or someday. Someday I'll work on this.
I'm going to do that.
I wish I had.
Oh, yeah. I got a whole
list. So I think there's a lot of that kind of undercurrent in this show.
I like that. I like that quite a bit. Oh, I got to see this.
Yeah.
Sounds like you guys are going to be ready on the 13th for the tag night out. I hope you guys get a good little audience for that.
Absolutely.
I'm ready.
You guys are ready.
It's so nice to talk to you. It's so nice to see you again. Honestly. It's been too long.
Yes,
it's so
very nice to meet you.
I am really, thank you.
Very nice to meet you. And finally, sir, after all of these years that I've known you, I finally got you on my podcast.
Yay. Well, it's about time, John.
So thank you guys very, very much. Really looking forward to going out and seeing On Golden Pond at Pace Chanticleer. It starts March 14th, runs through the 17th, and then the 21st through the 24th. And they're doing a tag night out on March 13th. And that will be their final dress. And they are very much looking forward to seeing an audience. Yes. Break the legs, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Did we get it all?
Got everything.
Thank you for listening and supporting the arts in the Platte River area and beyond. Please subscribe to our podcast so you are sure to catch all of our future episodes, and join us on social media. See you next time on the Platte River Bard.